Interview with George Lyle, October 25th, 2001. We are meeting at the home of Al and Ruth George, 512 Herning Road, Fairbanks, Alaska. Other voices besides George will be Al and Ruth. Let's get this started, and then you can ask your question. I hope that thing doesn't squeak.
It's really running?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's got a red light on it.
I still am confused as to where the actual route was that they came down off the hill to what is now Esro Road. And this is coming off of Steel Creek Road before the stretch that goes by Gettinger's as we know it today was constructed.
Okay, when you first came out, how did you get to your homestead?
Yeah, just beyond Curry's Corner there, that was Hageman Road at Curry's Corner. It just went into the Hageman homestead and a couple other places there. And you came on past Curry's Corner, and then the road came up over the hill, right up on top of the hill.
Weller Hill, what we would. Rainbow Valley?
No.
Oh?
No, the hill beyond Curry's on the Steese Highway.
Oh, Steel Creek, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
And Steel Creek branched off there, went up over the top of the hill. Right on top of the hill was the old North Pole town site. Somebody tried to start a town named North Pole there.
Oh, I've never heard that.
You came up across the kind of flattened out on top, then you made a right turn and came down the hill over there by Bert Stemples and Doc Fitz's place.
Pretty much where the road is, Steel Creek
yeah,
is now.
Yeah, the Steel Creek
right.
Road, yeah. That was the original way, and it came out right there where those igloos are, where it is now, and that was the end of the road when I came out here.
Right.
And there was a trail from there on over.
On what is now the Hot Springs Road?
Yeah.
From about 4 miles.
It crossed the creek down there at the foot of the hill, about where the creek came down? Or
then it kind of wandered over through Carl Herning's place and up that little draw where the top of the hill there is before they cut the hill down. But it didn't quite follow. Then they put that Chena Hot Springs Road, as they called it now, straight on that property line or section line or whatever it is there.
Do you know what year that was?
I was trying to think back. It was in the 50s when PK, I think, got the first contract and cut part of the top of the hill down. And then they moved Everhart Road down at an angle instead of coming right in on top of the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And then when this last road building process, why they put that extra deep cut and moved the approach to it down a little farther yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, the people that weren't around at that time find it difficult to vision what the top of that hill really was. We used to drive right out of the top of that hill and turn and go down the
right.
hill. And you can't do that now.
So what brought you to Alaska in the first place?
Well, after World War II, I came back from Europe and was working in Yosemite Park. And then one day, we went over to eat lunch, came back, and our camp had all burned up all our belongings for the whole crew, and everybody was talking about opportunity in Alaska, and I said, well, this is a good time to go up and see what's going on up there.
So this would have been, what, 46, 47?
46.
46.
The summer of 46. And so I said, well, I'll go down and re-enlist in the Army and go up there. So I went into the recruiter's office and told him I wanted to go to Alaska. I wanted to sign up for 18 months. And he said, well, to get a station of your choice, you got to go for 3 years. And I said, well, good. That'll give me time to see what it's like up there. That's how I originally got up here, came up on a troop ship. Arrived in Whittier the last day of November of 46. Got on a train, and the train froze up. Everything in the train was frozen. We got into Ladd Field early in the morning of the 1st of December at 45 below zero, and it stayed that way until almost February before it went above 40 below. So I got introduced to one of the coldest winters up here, the same winter they set the record in Snag as a North American 83 below that winter.
So.
Oh,
you were married for 3 years until, what,
49? Yeah. And while I was in the service, I looked at homestead land and was just about ready to file on that piece of property in there alongside of Weeks Field where the hospital and all that other buildings are right now. And that spring, it was all underwater. And you could take a rowboat up to the post office downtown. I said, I'm going out on the hill somewhere, and I walked out here and looked at this property and filed on it.
Yeah, someone mentioned something about you walking across from the base.
Yeah. Yeah, after I filed on it, when I'd spend my weekends out here, I'd put on snowshoes and come from the end of the runway, crossed an old winter trail that was down there. A winter trail going to Chena Hot Springs at that time.
And that, when did you file? Or when did, well, file or
for the homestead?
Yeah.
It was in the spring of 47. Actually in the summer of 47. I didn't actually do any building until the spring of 48.
So you didn't know the Hernings at that point in time, or?
I met them when I came out here looking at the ground and talked to them about, showed them the map I had, and they told me about where the place was. Carl had homesteaded over on that side, and Don is just building a house across the road on the other side of the road away there. And then about that same time, Walter was marrying Dorothy, and they started building a cabin on this next place over between next to mine and behind Carl's. And I started cutting that road through on top of the hill, talked to Carl. And we brushed the line out coming in this way, and we decided that was too swampy, and asked him about coming across the top of the hill, and he said, yeah, there's an old wood road that's partway up there now. Just continue on with it.
This was from Carl's place then?
Yeah, across now. Carl Lindstrand's.
Oh, Carl Lindstrand's. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was here.
Yeah.
Who else was in the neighborhood at that time?
Henry and Tilly Brockman. They had a chicken ranch. They had about 300 laying hens at that time. And then across Hopper Creek from them was Adolph Shear. Mm-hmm. And then on out farther was a wood cutting camp, O'Leary's.
They had a township survey in by that time.
Yeah.
So there were a few known posts in the community.
Right.
And a lot of people that were homesteading were out in the middle of, they were lucky if they got on the Gripe Township. Yeah, they their timing was pretty good on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Carl, what was the name of the fellow that was up on Amanita? I don't know whether he was there then. He was a hunchback, I think.
Later. That was quite a bit later.
Oh, okay.
Frank Fessler.
Right.
Yeah.
Was there anyone up on that side? I see Carl had the property on that side for the first.
He had property on both sides, and then Brockman's, where Tilly's house was,
they
part
were
of Brockman's on that side of the road, and then down below was there.
Oh.
And then down at the foot of the hill was,
Had rhubarb.
Yeah.
Worked for Carl off and on.
Joe Kruger. He was one of the first people I met when I came out here, and he wanted me to show it. Wanted to show me his greenhouse. He said, I said, well, what are all these pipes up here in the air? You're bumping your head. Oh, that's the heat. He said, all these people think you got to have heat down at the bottom. He says, take a look at nature. He says, the sun's up in the air and the plants grow up to get to the heat. He says, so we put the heat up here and the plants will grow up to it. He was quite a character.
Oh, boy.
And he didn't have too much luck in his greenhouse.
Oh, my. Some of the stories.
That was the first place I ever had roast bear meat. He had a bear roast one day and wanted to invite us all in for dinner.
Any idea where he came from or what brought him here or anything? Because he apparently was around pretty early.
Yeah. Carl Lindstrand filed on his place in 1938, and then he went in the Army and was up in the Army up at, I think, at Nome or somewhere. He stayed in Alaska, though, in an Army post somewhere.
That would have fit because Otto Geist was the supply officer at Nome for the Army. That's how he got that property that he had, gave to the university at Nome. So there was an Army presence there.
Yeah,
apparently Carl Lindstrand helped survey this area, somebody said.
I don't know whether he actually worked on that. I never did hear him say anything about actually working a survey.
Well, one of the stories mentions it. I don't remember whose it was now.
Yeah.
Don, perhaps, because he was one of the early ones out here and lived next door to Hoot. But,
That would have helped also because the corner up here on the highway is a two-way corner on a township. And so there would have been a survey post there that he could have hung his land estimate on.
But actually, he was on both sides. He was in both townships, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, who else?
And then over on the other hill where Bryce's place is, that was Lynn Funk's homestead.
Yeah.
He was running a little dairy in there when I came here in the 40s.
Well, apparently Mrs. Funk had a sort of a bakery in there at one time.
Yeah, she used to bake quite a bit of bread for the neighbors. And Adolph Shear over here, he used to bake bread and pastries for the whole neighborhood. He was a baker for the Kaiser's Army in World War I.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
And we used to get a lot of his recipes and cut them down to more handleable size instead of a big bakery. Some of his stuff was 50 pounds of flour, that kind of size batches.
What about the old fellow that lived at the end of what is now George Road? Or Severn Road, actually. What was his name? Quite an experimenter with plants.
He was kind of a horticulturist, and he experimented with a lot of different things. And then the experimental farm came out and dug up a lot of his stuff after he died and took it in there.
And as far as I know, nobody there now has ever heard of him or know anything about him.
Mm.
And
Boy, I kind of think of his name right
now. Well, we've got it someplace, but I can't see it. It started with a B. I can't come up with it now either.
Frank Betcher? No.
Yeah.
Was it?
Something very close to that anyway.
Yeah, Frank Betcher.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it was Anne that mentioned something about his background. She thought he was he'd lost his family in the war or something.
Yeah, I don't know too much about his background. I used to go down and visit him quite a bit back then. And
this is the gentleman that suicided?
No.
No,
he died a natural death. We've got his obituary someplace. Fellow suicided, lived on up, well, we don't know. He lived on Hopper Creek. I ran into this in the paper looking for Frank Betcher's obituary.
Mm.
And he was a woodcutter and had a partner, apparently.
Yeah.
I've got the story, and I've got a copy that I'll pass along to you later on when you get all these together.
Yeah, that was had a little cabin in between where Lee Rissy is and where Frank Fessler was.
Okay, so on the north side of the present road.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's the same
yeah.
one I'm thinking of.
I'll bet it is. Somebody else thought that's where it would be,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, there was one of those little knolls up there, up Hopper
mm-hmm.
Creek. You could see from the road if it isn't too well grown up now to notice was right up in that area there.
I'll have to ask Lee what he heard about that, because being he was
yeah.
later, but being in that
yeah.
area, somebody might have mentioned it.
Yeah, I was trying to think of the guy that homesteaded it that Lee got it from.
Oh, wow.
I worked with him at Alaska Coachways. He was a mechanic.
Yeah, I can almost tell you the name because Lee mentioned it. But I don't come up with it now.
He had an old Ford truck that he drove to work.
He drove through Earl's property, right? Later on when...
Well...
At first?
Yeah, they came down that... Yeah, they had a different road at first, and then what was it?
Along the power line, I think, from what Lee said.
Yeah. And then they moved it down on a property line, I guess it is now.
Actually, I think they talked Earl into letting him come through his property.
Maybe so. I don't remember. I'd have to look at a map.
Well... Maybe it is a good time to do it. We just happen to have here.
Boy, talk about your quick change artist.
This is a 1953 school district map.
Oh.
And it's yours to take home. We had copies made of the one that was left in our
old
house.
I was looking for an old one. I found a small print of one that had the names of all the original homesteaders on it.
That's what this is, I think.
No, that's not original. Some of them are, but there's...
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's get this right side up. And, we need some weight on it. Let's see where we are here. Pull it over. Okay, won't you? Okay, we're over, There's Carl.
This is probably what I've got a small section of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just this area.
Notice he does that without glasses, Bruce.
I do have a pair of reading glasses I use at night.
Yeah, we still need. What else do you use? Points?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Quentin Bonnet.
Oh, yeah, we've
heard... Berkeley, okay. Merle Berkeley, that's the one
that
had that, yeah.
That should hold a corner.
And Ed Davis, he homesteaded there.
Mm-hmm. Not much weight in that.
Oh, here's Gary Denton here.
Oh, yeah, he's one we've heard a bit about from different people.
He was quite a character. Well, he had a place farther out,
mm-hmm.
and he was the one that dynamited holes in the road, and he put tree stumps to keep people from crossing going on up Chena Hot Springs.
Mm-hmm.
Nels Jackson, he had a wood camp. Oh, and Ackerman.
Mm-hmm.
O'Leary, yeah. Metcalf.
Now, when they were out there as a wood camp, they were cutting on land that they had filed on?
Evidently.
Or they just had a permit?
They might have had a wood cutting permit. Some of those guys didn't get the land. They just got a permit to go out and cut wood. In the early days, this area here, a lot of this was cut off in the early days for firewood for the NC power plant in town, and they sledded it in the wintertime on sleds.
Well, O'Leary must have been paying taxes.
Yeah, I think he got, I guess these are all the ones that actually filed on it, because up, where is Smallwood Creek?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't show anybody up here. There
no.
was two or three woodcutter cabins and trapping cabins up along the creek up in there. And there was guys living up there part of the year. Yeah.
What they use for transportation, trucks, tractors, horses?
Back in those days, it was either just pack horses or on foot, or dog teams in the wintertime. There was no roads in there that a vehicle could go on. And then, of course, coming in the top of Gilmore Trail into Smallwood, there was a trail in there that was passable down to those first mines there back in that time.
The people that hauled hay, they harvested hay in the summertime and stacked it enough that they could then haul it, load it and haul it in the wintertime.
Yeah.
Where did they cut? This was down kind of where Loud's place is and then towards the river?
Yeah, and even farther on out, when you get out to Colorado Creek, they had a roadhouse there with a chain station for horses for the sleds going up to the hot springs. And those meadows up there, they harvested hay and kept it right there, too. There was two roadhouses on the way up there.
Colorado Creek, and where would the other one be?
I'm trying to remember the name of it. When they first started putting that road through, there was a fellow had bought it, and he had a cabin and a lot of dog houses up there. He would run up there in the wintertime with dogs, and I can't remember the name of that one. It was on another creek there.
They could get a permit to use hot springs, but they couldn't file on it. Is that how it worked?
Well, no. The hot springs was a Lincoln land grant that somebody actually owned it. I don't remember who the original owner was. And then a group of businessmen got together and bought it. And let's see, Wilson.
Carl
Wilson,
yeah.
And what's his wife's name? I can't think of her name right offhand. They were managers, more or less, and in on the partnership. And when we had that herning equipment, we sold them a little Oliver dozer, and we took it in cross-country from 12 Mile Summit on the Steese, came down an old trail, and brought it in there for them to clear the runway and brush it out again so they could start getting aircraft in there again and to start it opening it up then. And then he would come out in the wintertime with a 6x6 truck and let us know when he coming by, and then we would follow him up with our jeeps and go up there and spend a day swimming and stay overnight and come back the next day when it was still just a trail before there was ever a road opened up.
You say a Lincoln land grant.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that? Was this a particular kind of land grant, or was this somebody's?
That was a name on certain land grants. Evidently, President Lincoln had instigated it or wrote it up originally, and that was the way they were transferring property.
I hadn't heard that name before.
Neither have I.
I have to do a little research.
And I looked at a couple of the hot springs.
Yeah.
Location.
There was a copy of it on the wall up there for quite a while when Carl Wilson was up there.
Interesting.
And I don't remember whether I ever had a copy of it or not. I don't think I ever did, because I think they had that one framed on the wall. And I can remember reading it, but I can't remember who all signed it.
You don't suppose it's still up there someplace in some form or another?
It's possible, unless when Wilson's, after he died, while she couldn't hold on to it, the taxes was so outrageous that she couldn't afford it. And
well, that would be an interesting document to see if there's a...
Yeah.
Whose tax was this, federal or...
Yeah, I think at that time, had we become a state yet when he died? Do you remember?
I don't think we had, but I
think it was
mistaken.
Still federal.
Wait a minute. Was he there when the flood hit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so
yeah,
it was state.
It was
a state then. But for some reason, the property was in his name, and to prove that she helped develop the property, she had to prove that she had an interest in it, even though she was his wife. I can't remember all the particulars. I know there was quite a write-up about it at the time, but she would have had to come up with somewhere around $500,000+ to pay the taxes to keep the property. But each one of the kids had homesteaded a piece of ground all around there. So the kids had the different parcels of land that they had homesteaded that adjoined the hot springs.
You notice his name is on a piece of property over on the top of the hill.
You could.
Above Rainbow Valley. Let's see, where are we? Here's the hot springs.
Here's the hot springs road.
Okay, that's what I'm looking for. Okay. Someplace over here. Right on top of the hill, wherever.
George Farkas.
Yeah, okay, it's over this way.
Carl Wilson.
There it is. Okay.
Well, that'd be where the school is now. It
must be, just about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No one that I've talked to knows that he ever did anything with it.
So I don't think
so. He
must have sold it or something. Yeah.
Well, in fact, I think somebody said maybe the Hagman bought that later.
Let's see.
Hagman's on over here.
Right over in here somewhere.
But it shows him with just a fairly small piece of property, relatively.
Harry Reimer.
Here is Miss Hagman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, see, that's where that road came in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Steel Creek Road came off.
Yeah, up here.
Up there, came over the top of the hill. And right up here where the Gilmore Trail turned off, that's where the North Pole town site was, right on that kind of track.
Well, I'd sure never heard of that before.
Yeah, they had a post office up there. When I got here in 46, I think there was only one or two buildings left. And then there was a 6-inch well pipe sticking up where the government whether geophysical or somebody had drilled a well up there and capped it.
Now, why would they do that? Why was there a well there?
It was a test deal, kind of like down there at the permafrost area where they had a 6-inch well there. And they used to, they had to cap it because water kept flowing out of it.
Right.
And I went down there one time when they had to cap off, and there was little bitty seashells and stuff coming out of it with the water.
Yeah. Well, Kivlin's that lived across the road there, we always heard, had an artesian well.
Yeah.
So that whole area in there apparently. And
but the water wasn't very good to drink. It was kind of like swamp water, smell and stuff.
Right. And Don talked about the same thing over on what's now Henry's property, where the military site was.
Oh, yeah.
There being artesian type wells over there.
Hmm.
Flowing.
Yeah.
But they weren't capped, or that one wasn't capped anyway.
Hmm.
Yep. Oh, was Rudy here when you came out? Rudy Goldberg?
They came out later. Let's see. Al Stubbings, or Fred Stubbings, had filed on this place, and then Rudy Goldberg filed down there. And forget what year that was.
Well, Fred would have filed in approximately 53, because supposedly he'd been here 5 years when we bought.
Yeah. And I think Rudy came shortly after he did. They're in Minnesota now.
Yeah. Someone was saying that they were old Virgil. They'd been up for this reenactment of the first Snogo.
I read about that in the paper afterwards. And then I called up over there and they said, well, they'd already left. I forget. We had just came.
Tom? There.
Yeah.
Okay. What else is on here that's interesting?
Yeah. Builders. Mm-hmm. Johnny Holmes. Bert Stemple.
And Dr. Fitz. And just show the.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Kay Stemple, I assume, was Mrs. Stemple, although her name was what, Leah?
Yeah, I think so.
So maybe she had another initial, and that's what got on the map. And this must be R.G. Fitz.
Yeah, it's funny how those potato fields are all sprouted houses now.
Yes, isn't it, though? Big houses.
And then this Maranatha Children's Home, that was Funk's homestead.
Yeah, that was news to us. We had never heard that.
And they left the country for a long time and then came back.
Now, they must have bought Lundquist, and Lee thought they must have had some over here because they apparently extended down to the creek.
Yeah, I think they got this whole piece here.
Mm-hmm. This, I presume, is Dr. Lundquist?
Yeah.
James A., that is the right first name, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Les Loud is on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, but they apparently just had a 340, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that they didn't get, well, maybe they weren't, maybe that's what was available, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, was Bennett Road, Mr. Bennett there when...
Yeah, he was raising potatoes there pretty regular.
You see, even on that, Bennett Road doesn't go all the way through.
No. Where in the world? And this Johnny Holmes comes across there.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bennett Road must come.
Yeah, it came onto this line here, somewhere right here.
I'm not sure whether it actually did or not. I talked to parents, Terry Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Moore?
Yeah.
No, that's not quite right. Well, anyway, and he had a lot to say about that, having been right in the area.
Yeah.
And I kind of think it did not hit the property line, because I think he said it should have.
Yeah.
But anyway, you'll...
Well, I thought it was on the property line right down here.
Well,
maybe not. It probably wanders across here somewhere.
Yeah. In fact, what we need is the current map shows where the roads are.
Yeah.
And right here, there's the Rainbow Valley property.
Pretty. Yeah. And then he sold out, or was that his son that had the place on out?
I suppose it was his son. It's a different first name, although I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, I think it was his son.
Yeah. I understand one of the daughters lives probably right on the corner of that property now. One of those new roads in there, Golden Birch or the other one. So I have been told. Somebody was talking about Hageman walking across down here to go to work on
Ladd.
Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be that far, I guess.
No.
That nobody walks anymore.
No.
And today you couldn't get
on.
They wouldn't let you on that way.
Yeah. But I used to walk out this trail here.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't show the branch of that trail going off up through here. There was a branch of this trail went up through here.
Huh. And we've got some signs of old. Well, here's something here. I don't know where.
Well, it used to come up. At Steel Creek and came off probably just right about here, and then over into this and come down and hooked into this one.
Hmm. Well, there was a road through this field. That we, through this to get down to it anyway. And I always figured it's what they made to get down there to till that. But maybe it was there earlier.
Yeah.
That moose that you used to shoot off of your back porch every season was in our garden last week.
Oh, we've had one around the house the last two nights, a cow and a calf.
This one's a bull with a full-sized rack on.
Mm, I haven't seen him at all then. But there was a cow and a calf in the yard night before last, and they were back in again last night.
Yeah, they've been around the community a lot, but we've lucked out until this guy showed up.
The other day, there were two of them out there breaking off the choke cherry trees, and I went out and tried to chase them away, and they started grunting at me and turned around and says, "You're going to leave, not me."
I'll have to show you what Al's been using on
for
our intruders.
Firecrackers?
Yeah.
Roman candles.
Oh.
They do not like Roman candles.
You see, because they make noise going out.
Yeah.
And when they hit the ground, they make a different noise.
Mm.
And they don't like those. They leave.
Mm.
Well, we keep them on hand.
Yeah.
Don't work quite so well in the daylight, but they're still...
I can say I've actually seen them run.
Yeah.
And go plow right.
Well, those the other fence. Day, they weren't going to take no for an answer. Every time I'd go out and chase them away a little bit, they'd wander off, and I'd go back in the house, and they'd come right back again.
I suspect somebody's feeding them. They're too darn unafraid of people.
I think it's Everhart that he's tried to sucker them into the
tourists.
Well, I've heard they build a road from here down to their place now.
Well, they've got some kind of a trail at least, because in the summertime we have people walking by from over there making a circle. I didn't see too many this year, but last year...
Well, somebody said it was good enough to drive on. It wasn't very good for a passenger car, but any four-wheel drive wouldn't have any trouble.
Could well be. I haven't been down there. Well, what other questions have we been thinking of, Al? Oh, I wanted to ask about your old tractor.
The old 22? It's still sitting up there in the woods. Actually it belongs to Ricky now, but I was going to see if he'd get it going again. We took the blade off of it years ago because it kept breaking the track frames. It was too much of a load for it.
Oh, is that just a standard tractor? I always thought it was a surplus something or another.
It was an old Caterpillar 22, and then the NC company in town made up this blade during World War II to put on it, and Pan American had it to clear the runway at Reeks Field.
That's what I had heard.
And it was a locally made blade arrangement, and the way they made it, well, these braces come up on the track frame and then hung over on the outside, and when you'd pick it up, well, it'd throw all the weight to twist those track frames, and that casting underneath kept breaking.
Oh.
So to put something to tie it across the top so that the weight didn't pull out, it would have been a better deal.
Well, I kind of remember it struggling to pull a old grader.
Oh, yeah. That grader was too much of a load for it. Yeah.
That's something the kids remember, especially Tom. I think he was the only one that was old enough to even think about being able to help with it. But they remember that grader pretty well.
Yeah, it's still up there.
Yeah, I went over and took a picture of it, but I'd like to get a better one because the conditions weren't very good.
What's that, the grader?
Yeah.
How many families were in on that?
Oh, let's see. There was us, Walter, Harold, and you, and Billberg, I think.
Well, Severns were.
Severns.
Yeah, yes, I think Billberg
had already left. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Severns. So that'd be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
We should put in a $20 bill on the $100.
No, I think it was
a little
50.
More than that.
I think it was
50.
50. I looked that up someplace.
Wasn't it 250?
Yeah, that'd be about right.
I was going through some papers not too long ago, and I think I found the receipt from the FE company for that.
I'd like to get a copy of that if I could. That'd be a neat thing to add into all these.
I'll see if I can. Yeah. I can't remember where I run across it, but I was getting a box of paperwork out looking for something.
I've got a copier here, so if that's the easiest way to do it, I'll come on over. Well, and that reminds me of the FE pipe that were our original culverts down here on the township road, too.
Yeah.
Did you use your tractor to help plant those things, or how did we do it?
I think that was before I had that tractor. Hmm. I think we dug that by hand back then.
Well, I remember, Al and somebody, were you in on the hauling them home on top of the rack on the top of our station wagon and the bows on the top of the trailer so that every time you turned the corner everything creaked and the dust fell out. An exciting trip.
Yeah. No, I didn't get in on that.
I don't know who. Do you have any idea? Was it just you and a kid, or?
No, Frank.
Oh, Griffin?
Griffin.
Could be.
Yeah.
He didn't live out here, but he could have been involved.
He was on talking terms with anybody that worked for FE, because that's how you worked your way up to the management, where they might talk the thing that you could buy a piece of pipe from them.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's, yeah. Well, they were around a few years and helped us plant and harvest potatoes and took them home. So that's all about that same time. Oh my, and that was on the town, that was in order to get the township road passable, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, we got that going that year that PK had that contract to build up and gravel the road.
All right.
And they dumped gravel on it with their big scrapers, and we let them go through the field down into their gravel pit down there.
Yes, I ran across a picture last night of the Hot Springs Road in 1963 from the top of the hill out here.
I've still got the front bumper of it today.
Yep, that's the next picture.
Pulled the front end off my car because they were only supposed to have a half mile of the road, or I think it was a half mile, open at any one time, and they had 3 or 4 miles open. And then that heavy rain hit.
Oh, yeah.
And so they had all their... One cat was working on the job, and all the other cats they had were
pulling through
the mud holes.
Mm-hmm.
What was the redhead?
Alice Kimmel.
Alice.
Oh, yeah.
The tractor went alongside her. The ground was so soupy, it was pushing up, and it tipped her over on her side. When she finally got her window down, she stuck her head out and started swearing at that cat skitter, who still didn't realize that he'd done anything because he was concentrating on the other side of his tractor. And, oh, God, Alice was mad.
Yeah.
She was kind of a character anyway.
Oh, yes. Yeah, there'd be one interview. right. Well, you were driving Jeeps and whatnot then, so you probably...
Yeah, well, I had a car, too, but I used the Jeep
for
a lot of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when they were starting to cut that hill down, and they had to cut partway there. I got up to it, and I just put that old Jeep in four-wheel drive and went up over the edge out there, and I came back through there one... Oh, he said, I think if you had a tree that was just leaning a little bit, you'd drive up with that thing.
yeah, everybody needed four-wheel drive. Boy, that was...
Yeah.
That picture of the road is just nothing but a big muddy mess. There's no sign of a real road in there at all.
Well, that was when they opened it all the way up to Chena Hot Springs, you know, that was the year we had the big flood. They just barely got it finished, and then in 67 all that rain, and it took it out, and they never rebuilt it for what, 2 or 3 years afterwards?
Quite a while. Well, and also the phone system was pretty new when that flood hit.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of did it in the
That was the only time Eberhardt Road there on the hill going down washed out. They just went through that year putting that underground phone line in and didn't pack the hole, and the water got into there.
Yeah.
And well, this road here too, the same way. The water washed down in that fresh cut and made some pretty good holes.
Cable hanging like this, and it eroded out underneath it.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't all bad, because that was such a poor phone system anyway.
Yeah.
It needed to be redone, so maybe it got redone sooner than it would have.
Yeah.
Yeah, our phones were some of the neighbors were having a phone call here not too long ago, and if you saw them, maybe you didn't see them, they were working. They spent a couple of days working down here in the bottom. There's four wheelers and I don't know what all else had ripped through there so many times.
Yeah, I've seen phone crews out along the road quite a bit. There was the other day going to town, I saw two or three of their trucks coming out this way. Yeah. I don't know where they were going.
Yeah, I think they finished up here. But
did you have power outage the other night for a few
minutes? Very short one, yeah. Mm-hmm. Very rapid, though. No warning, boy.
No.
It was just gone.
By the time I got a flashlight and lit a candle, it came back on.
Yeah. Well, we've been in the process of getting all our flashlights found and replenished and ready for winter.
Yeah. We usually try to keep a kerosene lamp handy that we can
light up. You've got a kerosene one out there and an Aladdin right above your head there on a train. What do you call those things, Al? The gimbal?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we've never had to use them much, but about once a year you get one of them out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty lucky, really.
Yeah.
When did you and Harold have the Oliver Agency?
Well, let's see.
Must have been before we came out in 58.
Yeah. Must have been 51.
Did you have it about?
Well, let's see. Harold and Carl started it. I was working at the M&O at the time. And so, let's see. What vehicle did I have then? Around 51, 52.
Well, you sold several up around the neighborhood. We had one. You sold one to Studies, apparently.
Yeah.
And Professor had one, I think, somebody said.
Yeah. Let's see, did he have the OC3 or the OC6?
Lee probably mentioned one or the other because he had a lot to do with Frank living there next door.
Yeah. And then the one up at Chena Hot Springs, and then one to, what's that gal that's the environmentalist? She's always writing. Celia Hunter. When they had that. Started that lodge outside of McKinley Park.
Uh-huh.
We took one down to them, Woody, when they were married at that time before they got divorced. And quite a few of them around the area. The experimental farm got I forget what the other model was. It was a dozer. But yeah, there was quite a few of them. People down at Delta and down at Valdez sold quite a few of those little ones. And they were a pretty popular little machine.
Mm-hmm. But that isn't what Carl Lindstrand had. He had a...
No, he had a Formol M. He called it Emma all the time. It was a rubber tired.
Right.
And he had a bucket loader on it, or one of those skip loader, I guess you would kind of call it, because it wasn't, it had the hydraulic lift on it, but then when you went to dump it, you just tripped the lever and the bucket flipped over.
Huh. I don't remember that. I remember having a buzzsaw.
Yeah, he had a buzzsaw attachment that he could put on the back of it. He would put first one thing on it, then another, depending on what he wanted to use.
When did Everett come into the company?
His brother?
Yeah.
It was in the late 50s. And, well, he had been up here once before, I guess. And then Carl gave him that 40 acres across the road over there.
Well, you know,
or sold it to him or something.
That's what I thought, and yet on
it
the
still has his name on it. Where is it?
But look at, is that part of Carl's?
Yeah, this one. See,
okay,
one,
wait,
two,
a
three,
minute. Wait a minute. Okay. Oh, right, that's in the middle of Carl's. Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was confused. I was thinking it was part of
a this is where our road comes down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they divided that parcel up there, this road split it, and they made parcels alongside of it.
I gather that Jim Day pretty much logged that off and never built anything, from what somebody said. That's up on Amanita.
Yeah.
And somebody said that he thought he was going to build there or something and decided he didn't like it, but who was his buddy? Somebody over here.
Well, his brother had a place over here.
Well
he got somebody else's, Earl Herney. Wilson, Robert McQuinn, Ace Metcalf, Adolph Shear, and this is the place that Phyllis and what's her name had.
Yeah, well,
that was yeah.
But apparently they bought that from McQuinn.
Yeah, right.
But they homesteaded down where that field is now, I guess.
Well, that was they originally bought that from Adolph Shear.
Yeah. But they apparently did homestead something.
A piece down in there too, alongside of it.
It would have been after this map, because they weren't out here until the late 50s or into the 60s.
Adolph Shear on there.
Oh, yeah.
Is it?
Just this little piece right here. Apparently, he had sold off the rest of it.
Mm. Because he had a large piece. He had a D2 cat that he used to farm with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he used to run a sled back and forth to haul stuff.
Okay, now, did he go there or did he go down the flats?
Well, he went over this old trail that came. This trail here, and actually it came down across here and crossed the creek down here.
Okay.
Yeah, because it used to wind into part of his and up this.
Okay, so when he got up here to Steel Creek, what did he do?
Well, they'd come over to here where Steel Creek Road comes in, right here. That was the end of the road,
right.
And then vehicles could make it out to here, and he'd bring his cat over here, and Henry used to have a little Alice Chalmers wheel tractor and a trailer. He would haul his chicken feed and stuff over from here, and they'd get somebody to bring it out here.
Yeah.
They had an old car. A lot of times they left it out here, and they would run back and forth to town. A lot of people left their vehicles here. And when I first came out, you couldn't get a wheeled vehicle across there in the summertime.
Across the creek, that's a veritable swamp.
Yeah.
Even if Harry Denton wasn't blowing holes in it.
Well, he didn't do any right there. Well, he did try to stop people there at one time.
Yeah.
And they had troopers come out there.
Yeah, there are several stories about.
One time, road grader coming out plowing snow, and they plowed a berm across his driveway. He was out there jumping up and down and yelling at the grader operator. The grader operator picked him up and stuck him head first in the snowbank and drove off.
Oh, my.
He wasn't too big a guy. He was a small one. They called him a bandy rooster.
Yeah, that's all right. Oh, my. Well, we had a friend that lived on the Steese that used to say, the farther you go out the Chena Hot Springs Road, the crazier they are. Mm-hmm. And it's not entirely wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even yet.
I think Ackerman got that piece from him out there. And that's when he moved.
Oh, yeah,
here.
Okay.
And that's where he used to dynamite the holes in the road and block it off.
When did Charlie May end up out there? Any idea? He must have been there in 53.
Yeah. Let's see, he got out of the Army after I did. And Charles May or George May?
This was Charles.
Charles, yeah. One of them was in the Army and got out, and they homesteaded out there. It must have been in the late 40s. Would have to be after 48.
And before 53, so that brackets it.
So right in there, maybe the summer of 49, possibly.
Hilda May is still alive. I ought to go in and talk to her. I think she'd have some memories of that.
And they had a little sawmill there.
Right.
And that's how he got killed.
Who was that?
One of the Mays.
One of the Mays, huh? Oh,
I was thinking
that.
It was George May, but maybe it was Charles.
Well, I thought the Charlie May that just died here within the last few years was the same one, but maybe not.
Well, maybe it was the brother then. Because
that's a question to ask.
One of them had a sawmill, and he was working the sawmill, and a piece got caught by the saw, and it threw it and hit him in the head.
Al, is that what you're remembering?
It must be.
He thought it was a Day. It was a Day family, and I had never heard that, but maybe it's close enough.
Because the only 2 days were Jim and John.
Yeah,
and Jim,
they were much later.
Jim Day used to work with us on the pipeline, and John Day was a union steward for operating engineers, was it?
One of them, I don't know which. Okay. Well, Ackerman ran, as I got the story, Frank Fessler owned a sawmill that Ackerman ran out on his place because that's where the timber was.
Ackerman had a little sawmill there, but I don't know, remember Frank Fessler.
I think it was Lee talking about Frank driving his tractor out there to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did work out there. I don't know whether he had an interest in the mill or not.
Well, he did work out there
for quite a while.
Well, it's interesting. Let's see, you had to be on the property for how long if you were a veteran?
Six months. You could prove up in 1 year. Under the veteran's deal.
Yeah, thinking about the Mays going out there with whatever transportation because there wasn't a real road that early on. They must have had some experiences, but if they could do it in a year, that would...
Mm-hmm.
Although I think Walter pointing out it's kind of hard to work a job and do that.
Under the veteran's deal, you just had to build a cabin on it and live in it 6 months.
Right.
The cabin had to have one window and one door,
and it had to be 12 by 20